The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
The scripture reading today is from Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 13 and go through the end of the chapter to verse 26. If you have a Bible from the pew in front of you, you can join me on page 975. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors. Grateful to be with you this morning. Before we jump in, I just want to say another thank you to everyone who served yesterday. Helping to install the playground. Things look great. It actually looks like a playground, so that's good news. So anyway, thank you so much for being a part of that, sacrificing time and energy in all kinds of different ways. Just really appreciate you taking the time to do that. I think all of us at some level can agree that there's a gap between who I am and who I want to be, who I hope to be. Like there's some distance there. I'm not completely the person that I'd hope to be. There's difficulty to bring about change in our lives. I think that's part of what we recognize. Change is not something that happens instantaneously. It's something that happens over time. Any kind of change, there's a struggle that comes with it. Whether that's little things like wanting to change your golf handicap, hopefully lower and not higher, bring down that mile time, whatever it might be, there's difficulty to see change come about in our lives. I might want to lose 20 pounds, but I also want to eat a bucket of chicken. It's difficult. Change is difficult. And those are just the small things. Like, imagine the kind of struggle that comes with change that really matters. Like the change to become a more loving, more attentive person. Like that's a difficult kind of change to bring about in our lives. We have all kinds of baggage that we carry with us, all kinds of past experience that have shaped us, and to see real substantive change come about in our lives is a struggle. And I think that's why our passage is helpful this morning. Because what we see is the Apostle Paul giving us a picture of sort of the internal anatomy of change and the struggle that comes along with it. Why is it that character development is so hard for us? Why can't I see change in my life very quickly? There's an internal struggle. It's going to require more than simply habit stacking, kind of unlocking the key to becoming a new and better you by Friday. It's going to take something more than that. In fact, what we see is that deep change that we all desire, it only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us to become the kinds of people that God intends us to be. It's going to require that the Spirit of God does a work in us. At the end of the day, what we have to come to terms with is you and I aren't able to change our hearts. You can't work on it this week and bring about internal change. That's the work that the Spirit of God has to do in us. And so then the question becomes, what does that kind of transformation look like over time? And so what we're going to see very simply this morning is transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. Transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this transformation that we all desire, it's a struggle. I mean, that's what we see starting in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There, to experience transformation is to walk through a great struggle. There is a battle that is raging within each of us between these two different kinds of natures. The battle that's being waged is between the flesh and the Spirit. The flesh is simply the way of describing that sinful nature, that old way of life that we lived apart from God on our own terms, in our own strength, in our own sense of wisdom and understanding of what's right and wrong. That's the flesh. The flesh is the one who is opposed to God and wants to do it herself. And the flesh is at odds with the Spirit. The Spirit is here, the third person of our triune God. We learn that there is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, and each of them have a role to play in our redemption and even here in our transformation. The Spirit of God is the one who does the work of the heart to change us and transform us to look more and more like Jesus over time. And the flesh and the Spirit are at odds because they have different value systems. They want different things. They desire different things. And so there is a battle raging within you. And if we're going to fight for spiritual growth and transformation in our lives, it's going to happen as we walk by the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walking by the Spirit is how we keep from feeding the old man, the flesh, the one that one in me who wants to live for myself, who wants to do it my way. If I walk by the Spirit, Paul says, we won't feed that flesh. The reality is, you and I can't bring about that kind of change on our own. It says we have to walk by the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who does his work in us to grow us to look more and more like Jesus. And the place that it has to begin, if I want to become the kind of person God made me to be, not the kind of person that I just want to be, the kind of person that God made me to be, if I want to grow to become like that, it starts by giving myself over to Jesus. Apart from Jesus, I live in the flesh, by my desires and my wants and my know-how. And so if I want to become all that God made me to be, then I have to turn from that way of life. This way of life where I put my wants above everything else. I put myself at the center of the universe. Everything else kind of revolves around me. I'm the center of the story. We have to turn from that way of life and embrace Jesus by faith. Asking, surrendering ourselves over to him. Jesus, I no longer want to live from the flesh. I want instead to live for you. We have to surrender ourselves to him. We have to give up on ourselves that he might rescue and redeem. That's where transformation begins. It has to start there so that the Spirit of God can do a work in me to change me over time. We need that kind of work in us because left to our own devices, we end up living out in some way these vices that Paul points to. The vices of the flesh where we live for ourselves. We don't live for the things of God, we live for the things of man. And it shapes us. We're conformed to its image. We look more and more like one who is set apart from God. And what we need is the inbreaking of the Spirit of God into our life, that we could be changed from the inside out. That we'd no longer live for ourselves, but that we'd no longer live for our own sense of meaning and purpose, but we would live for God's. That we'd give up on our understanding of the good life and we'd embrace his understanding of the good life. He's the one who designed us after all. He's the one who made us. He's the one who knows what's best and good for us. Doesn't it make sense that we would look to him to have our understanding of the good life rather than my desires that are set against him? And how does that happen? It happens by walking with the Spirit. We must walk by the Spirit. And what we have to understand is this is no passive endeavor. We are the ones, we are commanded to walk by the Spirit. It doesn't say sit back on your hind parts and hope that God does something miraculous overnight. That's not the call. The call on your life and mine and Jesus is to walk by the Spirit, that we could be changed and transformed by him. See, the Spirit of God is at the center of spiritual growth and spiritual formation. That's why Dallas Willard put spiritual formation this way. He says, the spiritual formation is the Spirit-driven process of forming the inner world of the human self in such a way that it becomes like the inner being of Christ himself. The Spirit is at the center of that process. It doesn't say that we're to white-knuckle it, try harder, do more, figure out some new life hack that's going to make you better by Friday. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to walk by the Spirit. So how does that kind of change then happen? I mean, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? See, again, what we have to understand, you and I have to come to terms with this. You cannot directly change your heart. You can't sit down this afternoon and try to figure out how to become different in your character and make it happen on your own. What you and I have to do is walk by the Spirit, which means putting ourselves in a context, in environments where the Spirit of God can do his work in us. We have to surrender ourselves over to the Spirit's work, putting myself in contact with him by the word. I have to rest in the truth of who God is if I want to see transformation come in my life over time. It's not going to happen by trying harder. It's going to happen by surrendering myself over to Jesus and what he wants to do in my life. Walking with the Spirit as I read and study and meditate on God's word, having his word transform my thinking and my way of life as the Spirit works within me. See, you can't change your heart, but you must walk by the Spirit. And so you and I have to put ourselves in proximity to the Spirit of God by God's word through prayer, that I might hear from the Lord in such a way that he changes me over time. I have to spend time memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture, which just means to think about it, to dwell on it, to start my day by God's Word for 10, 15 minutes to talk with Him about His Word, and then to bring it back to my mind throughout the day. That's what it looks like to walk by the Spirit. I'm walking in step with the Spirit of God and what He desires for me. And what He desires for me is to be someone who is walking by the voice of God in His Word. And so we follow after Jesus by keeping in step with the Spirit. Transformation is a work of the Holy Spirit, and that transformation is a struggle within us. I mean, in many ways, it's simple, but it's not easy. But transformation is also then gradual. See, growth in this life to look more and more like Jesus, it takes time. I mean, that's what we see by the metaphor of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Growth in our hearts, growth in our character, it takes time. Organic growth of any kind takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's what God wants us to understand from this metaphor. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's going to require organic growth that takes time to mature. When we worked with college students at University of Central Missouri long ago, we had a Sunday night leader Bible study. So we had student leaders who were in our home every week, and we did it there because we could get the kids to bed, attempt to get the kids to bed, and then be with them during this Bible study. And they were all around when, you know, our kids were like this tall. And they were doing funny things, and we're like, hey, don't look at him. Don't look him in the eye. He's supposed to be in bed right now. It's not funny. There. This weekend, all of my kids were in the house again. One of them is out of college, first job. One came back from college. We had our last homecoming weekend as parents, and the kind of growth that you see now in those kids is staggering. Like, from week to week, when they were little, it was hard to see. It was imperceptible. But over time, you see it. They change. They're different. They grow. That's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It is an organic growth, and therefore it's going to take time. Transformation's gradual. And this growth, it's brought about by the Spirit of God. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's His fruit. It's His. It characterizes. These are the kinds of things that characterize our God. And if we want to see this fruit in our life, then we're going to have to keep in step with the Spirit. We're not going to be able to see these virtues come about in our hearts out of our own willpower, but rather as we walk by the Spirit. And this is going to require great patience for ourselves. Again, growth takes time. It's not going to happen in an instant. It's not going to take place overnight or in a week or a month. It's going to take time to see that kind of change. And so we need to be patient, and we need to be patient with one another as well. Just as growth takes time in my own heart, it's going to take time in yours. I ought not expect you to be different because we had a conversation about a Bible verse last night. Why aren't you different? Like, it didn't happen for you that way or me. So we need to see that transformation, it's gradual, and this growth, it takes time, and this growth, it's internal growth. It's growth that takes place within our hearts. You see, there's a difference between organic and inorganic growth. Organic growth happens from the inside out. I have a pin oak in my front yard, and it's an absolute nightmare in the fall because there are all these acorns, and I don't want to deal with them, so they're there. But in that acorn lies all the potentiality for life. Everything that future oak would need is in that acorn. And given the right environment and circumstance, an oak could actually grow from that acorn. Well, it's very different than inorganic growth, like, say, car restoration, which I know nothing of. But what I do know is car restoration, restoring that classic back to its original glory. It's not an internal process that works itself out organically. It comes as you bring outside forces and you bring the right kinds of work and parts and all those things, and you bring it together and you manipulate it in such a way that now it's been restored to its former glory. That's very different kind of growth, isn't it? Well, the kind of growth that we want to see in our lives, it doesn't happen by us grabbing hold of just these external things and kind of manufacturing change within us. No, the kind of growth that we want to see, the kind of growth that's characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, it happens internally. It's a growth of the heart. And how then do we see that kind of growth happen? He says in verse 24, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." We need to surrender our lives over to Jesus and to do everything we can to put to death the old way of life. I want to root out everything that feeds that old way of life. He says, you've been crucified. You're putting it to death. Older Christians used to describe this as the mortification of the flesh, putting it to death, killing it. This isn't a passive activity. This isn't, you have been crucified. This is, the flesh is being crucified, putting it to death in any way possible. He says, secondly, we not only have to put to death that old way of life, but we have to keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. We have to continually keep in step with the Spirit of God, placing ourselves in His care, attending our minds and our hearts to His Word, that we might be changed and transformed by His work in us over time. And so again, the work that you and I do, we cannot do a work to directly change our heart. The work we do is to walk by the Spirit, to place ourselves in environments where God can do His thing in us. Transformation is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so what does it look like this week for us to put ourselves in position for the Spirit of God to work in us? We need to be people who are taking in God's word. We need to take in God's word because we need to rest in His truth. You see, we need to be people who are being transformed by truth. And truth comes by God's word. That's where He's revealed Himself to us, to show us who He is and what He's like, what He cares about. That idea that He's made you to become a certain kind of person, what does that look like? What kind of person is that? Well, I spend time with God in His Word to see. I need to spend time with God in prayer, talking with Him. What does it look like for you this week to take 10 minutes before the hustle and bustle of your day to sit with God by His Word? To take it in, to think about it, and then to talk to God about it. This character trait that I see in Jesus in this passage, I want that to be true of me. Oh God, make it so. This old way of life that continues to rear its ugly head that I read about in this passage, I want to see that killed in me so that I can walk by the Spirit and become the person you made me to be. You see, we have to do that kind of work tomorrow morning and every morning thereafter, that the Spirit of God might do a work in us, growing us over time. And we must remember that it will take time. We don't go to God's word tomorrow and think that somehow instantaneously I'm a different person come Tuesday morning. You and I both know that that's not what our experience has shown us to be true. And it's not what the scriptures teach. But God is faithful, and over time, if we'll walk by the Spirit, He will bring about change and transformation of our hearts. And the kind of change and transformation that we want to see in our lives, it's not something that can happen only by getting off in silence and solitude, just me and Jesus, the Bible and prayer, but rather we need one another as well. I mean, this list of virtues, these character traits that we want to see the Spirit of God work in us, they're put on display in the context of community. There's a social dynamic. All throughout the scriptures, love is not just merely some warm sentiment. It always gets worked out in action. How am I going to learn patience unless I walk with people? How am I going to learn to be more gentle unless I practice being more gentle with people? You see, we can have all the warm, fuzzy sentiments about change that we want, but if we don't take steps to put ourselves in a context where God can do His work in us, I can't expect to see change. God is going to do whatever the heck He wants. He is God. He can do that. But we don't presume upon His grace. Because God is all powerful, then I can sit back on my hind parts and something's going to change. That is not the posture that Paul calls us to in this passage. But instead, for us to be the kinds of people who are walking together in community, that we might grow in these kinds of ways, that we might become different kinds of people together. And now imagine the kind of picture that we could paint of what the good life really is. A life that's marked by the presence of God. A life that's marked by a changed heart. A changed mind. Different ways of life and how we treat one another and walk with one another through this life. I mean, that's what our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, our peers, our colleagues, that's what they need. They need to see a compelling picture of a different way of life. And if we'll walk by the Spirit, and if we'll do that together, I am convinced that God is faithful to display His wisdom by His church. I mean, He's promised to do so, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. It's by the church, as imperfect as she is, that God's manifold wisdom is made known to a watching world. And so together, as we walk by the Spirit, as we surrender our hearts over to Jesus and ask the Spirit of God to do His work in us, He will bring about change. And as your friends see the kind of change in your life and your relationships, it will present a compelling picture of a Savior who is real, who is powerful, and who is really at work in our world. Transformation is a work of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to experience that kind of change, it starts with Jesus. And so every week we remind us of that reality through the Lord's Supper. We remind ourselves that this is only possible because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You and I set on ourselves, live for the flesh. Jesus lived the life we were supposed to, but can't because of that. And then ultimately, He died a death in our place. That if you would place your faith and trust in Him, you can find forgiveness, but even more so, you can be an adopted son or daughter of God. Become part of His family. have your life changed and transformed because of the work that he's done on the cross and ultimately verified through his resurrection from the dead. He is indeed who he claimed to be. Change and transformation is genuinely possible because of it.